John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't. What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down!
Come on!
Ready! Down! Set! Hut! 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 Hut!
Hit me! Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom 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 nom!
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew, Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
All right, we are here. On Campus Corner at the Scoop offices, a little after 2 a.m., 2:20 a.m. In the morning, as we've gotten all your content up on the website on Soonerscoop.com. We've had some guests barge their way into the studio as usual. They bought some hats, though, Eddie, so it was okay. They bought some merch.
That's all right.
They wanted to see where the Make Lindsay Street Great Again merch room was.
That's beautiful. I saw a lot of, I had a buddy that they had, you know, they bought a house here around the corner from us, and they had the flag flying proudly.
Ooh,
today.
Nice. So it was, Eddie knows all the people.
It was good. It was cold.
Yes.
But I think if there's one thing that we can walk out of Norman saying tonight, it's that I think they have some players that care.
Yes, and I've been critical.
They won a game. They won a football game.
Look, I've been very critical of the defense and the players and how much desire or want to or just do they give a crap? I mean, that's even been headlines on the website. And look, it's been kind of a weird night already. We've had a player's dad come after us. Subtweet, by the way. It's just weird because I think a lot of people don't know how to handle this. You know, 5-5.
Sure.
Like, it's okay if you are upset. And we deal with all kinds of, like, I've been on the message boards since the end of the game, and there's plenty of, you know, people like, stop starting fire Lebby threads. Like, that happens. I mean, that happens on my Twitter mentions during the game. People want to get rid of everything. There's people that wanted to get rid of Dylan Gabriel during the game today that forget, like, there is no option. So, like, we get it. Like, you can criticize. You can call for people's heads. I mean, that's just part of being a fan. The thing about it is, it's like we were so critical of the defense, and you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to give it up to them. They were f***ing fantastic, and I'll throw out an F-bomb.
Played really well.
They played their asses off tonight, and they did something. Like, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to make this as, like, Texas is back kind of thing.
Oh, no. Like, yeah, like, nothing. There's a lot to get fixed.
Okay, now it's the number one defense in the country. Like, you know, it's all fixed.
Sure.
No, none of that. Like, but it was a great first step. And that's, Eddie, that's all I was looking for. That's why I was so critical of the defense and the players is because, you know, and you and I have talked a lot about it, just not getting lined up right, not understanding what you do. Like,
yeah.
Like, just seemingly, like, you don't give a shit enough to get better or to be embarrassed by the things that you were putting out there. And tonight's the first time I felt like this defense took it personally. They got ready for this game.
Yeah.
And they went out and played their asses off. So kudos to them.
And, you know, I think that, you know, Deshaun talked about it after the game, just as far as, you know, I think kind of their mantra has been to keep battling, keep grinding, keep getting after it every day. And, you know, he's talked about it openly, how frustrating it's been over the last, couple weeks, months, whatever it is, years for some guys on this defense, but particularly this defense that, you know, when you work your ass off and you're just not seeing any type of positives that are coming out of it or not, you know, getting the fruits of that labor, then, you know, I think that it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get down. It's easy to, have locker room dissension or whatever you want to call it. But tonight, for the first time, it seemed like, you know, or at least in a long time, it seemed like they got some positive momentum early and it held.
Yeah.
And it kept them in the game. And, you know, damn, defensively, they won the game for him. They won the game for him tonight.
102 snaps for OSU tonight on offense.
It's unbelievable.
And 74 for Oklahoma. That should have been a tired, worn-out defense that had every reason to fold.
One touchdown in 19 series. Is that what it was?
I think that's what it ends up being on paper. Yeah.
I mean, I thought they played really well. There were points where you didn't think that Oklahoma State was going to be able to move the ball until they started moving the ball a little bit in the fourth quarter. And we get to all that here in a little bit.
Well, and, you know, I think my criticism comes directly on the offensive side of the ball and not even the players. I mean, like, this is another one of those games, like coming out of that West Virginia game, we felt like, oh, shit, like this feels like a coaching problem all of a sudden. And I would say 100% this feels like a coaching problem coming out tonight, like where they fell short, because Jeff Lebby would not run the clock. I mean, at some point, because of Brent Venables' comments after the game, like, I think there's probably a thing going on where Brent's a first-year head coach, Jeff's his first-year offensive coordinator. He wants to allow him to run the offense the way that he sees fit. But they're going to have a serious talk after this about clock management. And
it almost cost him a 28-point lead today.
Yeah. They legitimately opened the door for Oklahoma State to come back in this game with the way they handled their philosophy offensively, which is still snap it as fast as you can, basically. Don't take any time off the clock. And they had, eight 3-and-out back-to-backs that were like a minute, you know, average right around a minute of time holding the ball. Like, that's unacceptable.
So they basically, like, I asked Lebby after the game, I was like, you know, they're points in the second half in the fourth quarter where you're like, hey, Dylan, maybe don't snap the ball with 27 seconds left. And he basically made it almost, I don't want to say that he passed the buck, but he almost made it seem like there was talk on the headset that's what he's supposed to do, and it just wasn't happening.
I mean, again, that though is coaching. Like,
no, it is.
When it comes to how much, when you snap the ball, how much time is on the clock? Like, if you don't see that in a game and you continue to see that, you have to go to the player and say, look, stop doing this.
Don't snap the ball.
Yes.
But they also
had punts that late in the game where like 15, I think it was 17 seconds left when they snapped a punt back to Michael Turk.
Sure. And, you know, it was just weird. And, you know, even in the post game tonight, it was weird because if you would have just walked in there and not known what the score was, you kind of probably would have thought they got beat tonight. Like, that was kind of the general sentiment around the team. And even Brent, I think, was happy, obviously. But at the same time, I think he was almost just kind of relieved. Like, I think there was a lot of weight off a lot of people's shoulders getting this sixth win and getting bowl eligible. Like, as sad as that is to say, at Oklahoma, it kind of is what it is. And, you know, this is also a team that, you know, I think we sat around, you know, a week ago in Morgantown talking about, you know, are they going to be able to win another game the rest of the season to get bowl eligible?
Well, and you know.
And it's too bad because they played so f***ing well in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like 28-0. It was
a perfect game. They were shooting a perfect game.
They came out and absolutely just dominated the football game. And that was, they started taking momentum. And even when they were up 28-0, it still felt like they could be up 42-0.
Yeah.
Like, there's still moments where it's like, yeah, this is great and everything, but there's blood in the water. Don't let these guys hang around.
Yeah. And they let him hang around.
Sure.
And it didn't continue. What I posted this on the board. Like, this is like the best example of the night for Oklahoma in terms of just how it went for them from the first quarter on. So in the first quarter, 299 yards of total offense. Like, I think that what they figured out, that was the most ever in Bedlam, and then the second most ever in any quarter. Or the most ever in a first quarter, and then the second in any quarter. So 299 total yards on 28 plays, which the defense got them two turnovers in the first quarter, I believe, to give them more plays. So 299 in the first quarter. Then in the second quarter, 66 yards total. Third quarter, 42 yards total. Fourth quarter, 27 yards total. Like, what a crazy, ridiculous. And here's the other thing. Like,
and there were points in the fourth quarter where it's like, I don't think they can move the ball. Like, obviously they couldn't move the ball, but like, I didn't have any faith when they got first and 10 that they were going to be able to move the
ball. And here's the problem. So you go up 28-0. You don't score again the entire game. The second quarter, the way that you play offense, Jeff Lebby. OSU has the ball for 10 minutes and 10 seconds in the second quarter. Oklahoma, 4 minutes and 50 seconds. Move on to the third. Oklahoma State, over 10 minutes with the ball. Oklahoma, under 5 minutes with the ball. Fourth quarter, the way you should be running the clock out. Oklahoma State, 9 minutes and 39 seconds possession. Oklahoma, 5 minutes and 21 seconds.
I mean, that's... And all this time, you're up 28, 18 for
25.
The 18 for a long time.
Yeah.
And then 15, obviously.
Yeah, right.
It just... You kept like kind of twiddling your thumbs going, all right, they're in good shape. And then the fourth quarter starts because they're having to punt. And it's like, all right, well, you know, you're still up 18. No way, right?
They needed that one more touchdown to really kind of make OU.
Hey, but credit,
they couldn't get
it. Credit a bunch of those guys. I tweeted this during the game. Like, credit a bunch of those seniors, Deshaun White, Jordan Kelly, Jalen Redmond. When they needed some plays in the fourth quarter, they kind of bucked themselves and obviously came up with some big stops.
I mean, the defense was fantastic. I mean,
yeah,
they would not let Oklahoma State come back. No matter what the offense did to keep giving them the ball back with as little of the time off the clock as possible, the defense continued to step up and make big plays. I mean, Deshaun White's interception in the end zone, just the tackles for loss. I mean, they had 13 tackles for loss on the night, 6 sacks. So, one of the things about it, like Oklahoma State, you saw throughout the season, even going back to that Kansas State game, Texas game, like you knew their offensive line wasn't that good. And Oklahoma definitely took advantage of it. And Jonah Lualu, what a game he had tonight. I mean, that was his best game as a Sooner.
How weird was the interception? Like, I think I got a pretty good shot of it,
uh-huh.
but it tipped up in the air, right? Like,
right.
he's not back
right.
in coverage.
Right.
Okay.
It got,
okay.
Yeah. I think it. I can't remember who it was that tipped it. It might have been Woody, but somebody tipped it and he was standing right there, not getting into the end zone. Like he's gonna replay that forever and be like, "How did I not get in the end zone on that?" But then, and that was the other thing. Like they just didn't take that much of an advantage off of turnovers tonight.
Yeah,
that was the disappointing.
Well,
I mean, the only thing you could say negative about the defense was that.
Yeah, and I think
that wasn't their issue. That was the offense.
Yeah, sure. They put them in really good position to take advantage of those turnovers, and they just weren't able to do it. I, as bad as things have been, it's hard to sit here and just bitch and complain and criticize.
And I'm not really doing that. My biggest complaint is with the philosophy on offense,
sure.
like, that we just continue to ignore the play clock.
Yeah.
Like, that is, to me, it's
and
criminal.
And that's not even, like, is that play calling as much as it is just, like, a basic football understanding?
Yeah.
Like, a basic IQ.
I mean.
Which is surprising that Dylan Gabriel, they just kept snapping it.
I know. I mean, you think at some point he'd be like, eh. I mean, here's the thing. And I think this is probably, you know, first year in this offense. They just need to go to practice and say, okay, we need to practice waiting to snap the ball. Because I feel like they probably haven't done that.
Well, and
because it's all about this is our offense, fast, 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 kind of get, you know, just searing that into their brain. It probably is like counterproductive in Jeff Lebby's mind to say, let's have a practice where we go slow intentionally. Because, I mean, yeah. it's almost like saying, well, you know, in case my wife divorces me, I'm going to stash all this money to the
sure.
side. It's just like you don't want to be negative, especially in the first year.
And there were points where, you know, I think fans hate it. I hate talking about it, but like the execution stuff, like Jahlil Farouk, you got to catch the ball.
He had a really bad night tonight. His worst, really, I would say his only bad night that I can recall.
Noticeably bad.
Yeah, just
noticeably
over and over.
Bad.
I mean, the one he missed, like, that was one of the things. Like, you're struggling, and Dylan Gabriel hits you on the run in the chest. Like,
you got to catch it.
Down,
you got to catch it. Braden Willis, you got to hold on to the football.
Yeah.
Like, you have an opportunity, and this was, like, the thing that I started thinking of in the first half is, how many times does this team have to give, like, be given the opportunity to take momentum in a game? And they took it tonight at some point. But you have a chance to go up 35-0. That's basically like the knockout blow that you've been looking for.
And it's your team captain that's fumbling.
And you fumble. Yeah. And like it's little things like that they're still not great at. But, you know, as much as we bitched and complained about the details of the game last week, they didn't have any crazy penalties tonight, I didn't think. I thought the hold, you said the holding call on Antoine Harrison was terrible.
I thought it was bullshit.
I thought the pass interference call that set up Oklahoma State's touchdown
that
was awful, too.
That was the worst call of the night.
That's one of the...
literally
that's the
didn't
most livid
his
that
arm
I've,
at all.
That's the most livid I've probably seen Brent.
It was a terrible
this
call.
Year.
It was an awful
pissed.
Call.
He got pissed.
Yeah, Woody... Like, I saw the stuff that other people were getting away with all day in college football. Like, it was... I mean, there was nothing there. I mean, that official is he should be ashamed.
Yeah, that was bad. But then again, there was a lot of really good tonight. Javonte Barnes continues to look like somebody that's going
to
be good.
I mean, I really felt like he was running the ball well.
Yeah, there was a point in the fourth quarter that and TJ Eckert was right next to me and we both had the same reaction. It's like he had the ball out like up above his shoulders. And it, you know, they're milking that 15-point lead. And it's like you could just see DeMarco like, get your ass in there, Eric. We cannot be doing this.
So, yeah, I mean, I just looking at the sheet, I mean, it was crazy because, you know, in the first half, Oklahoma State could not buy a first down. And then the second half, Oklahoma couldn't buy a first down. I didn't look at the splits, but, like, I'm looking at them right now, just comparing how they did. Like, first half, let me just go to the first half stats here. In terms of first downs, Oklahoma.
Well, just to tell you how
bad.
They had
15 and OSU had 8.
Just to tell you how bad Oklahoma State or Oklahoma has been in the second half. Like Oklahoma State ended up outgaining them.
Right.
Third downs, man, the last 2 weeks have just been absolutely abysmal. Like I don't know any other way to say it. They have been awful on third down. And it's not third and longs. It's like third and threes that they can't pick up.
They were
third
Oklahoma
and short.
Ends up 1-14 on the night. Only a 7% completion.
So they are 2-27 in their last 8 quarters on third down.
It's yeah, something awful like that.
I mean, how? Like, how are they so bad on third down?
They only had 2 first downs in the second half, Oklahoma did.
Yeah, and one of them was on, like, the first play of the second half, right?
Yeah.
Well, first play of their offensive possession. I just don't get it. I do not get it.
But, I mean, like, all that said, like, OSU gets the ball to start the second half, and the defense holds them to a 3-and-out. Like, there was so much good to
no,
go along
was.
With the weird. To
there was. And especially on the defensive side of the ball where, you know, I think you kind of just take what you
and
get.
And you still didn't have Jaden Davis. I mean, C.J. Colden started, did a great job tonight, I thought. I mean, everybody. Billy Bowman had a really nice night tonight.
How about that, the pick? Coming across the middle there.
And he had a couple that he could have had tonight.
I thought when he picked off the ball in the red zone there, I thought he was taking it back.
Yeah.
Like
He needed to get past one guy.
It's just like, and you talk about little things. It's like they had the throwback to Marvin Mims on the kick return, and you can't pay that off. Like, didn't they end up going 3-and-out after that?
Oh,
at
yeah.
At about midfield?
Yeah, they got to the 40, between the 40 and the 50.
It's just
did
like,
they go 3-and-out after
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think so. It's just little things like that that you look back and you're like, God, this thing could be so much better than what it is. And, you know.
All right, of course, you know the post-game podcast of Sooner Scoop brought to you by Eskridge Lexus, which they've been a proud sponsor for several years. They're the official travel partner of the Sooner Scoop post-game podcast and the, drunken post-game podcast when the situations arrive. It's unbelievable we haven't had one of those this year. Look, new car inventories are still pretty limited, but inventories, they're improving. And they've got more new vehicles arriving every week. Since their new car inventories have been so limited, they've also been stocking up on Lexus L certified pre-owned vehicles. We've driven some of those and they are fantastic. All Lexus L certified vehicles come with an unlimited mile full, unlimited full factory warranty with up to 6 years of coverage. And L certified cars also come with 4 free services, free car washes, and use of brand new Lexus loaner vehicles while your car's in our service department. So I'll tell you this about Lexus. Unlike other dealers you're going to find out there, they never charge over MSRP on a new car. They never charge you a dock fee or make you pay for accessories that you really don't want. So visit EskridgeLexus.com for the most up-to-date inventories or to book your next service appointment. And just check those guys out. They do a great job for us as our travel partner. You know me, I've driven a Lexus for over a decade now. Wouldn't drive anything else. So EskridgeLexus.com, go check them out.
They were just showing Drake Stoops. He came out just on fire tonight.
That's the other thing. Like, you know, that pass to him in the corner of the end zone, that was one of the best passes that Dylan Gabriel's made all year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He has that in him.
Yeah. No, he does. Like, and that's why it's so frustrating to see some of the stuff that they throw out there that it's just like it looks so discombobulated at times.
Yeah.
Conjul, you know, I thought some of the snaps, they did have a problem today.
It was awful. I mean, they've got to get that fixed.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was
like he was throwing like little softballs.
Yeah, it was like little. They had no velocity on them. They were low. So Dylan Gabriel was having to bend over and wait on a snap. Meanwhile, the play is in motion.
Sure.
And so it affected his drops. It affected, just his balance. I mean, just he had to, when I want to go back to my baseball stuff, but it's kind of like when you're trying to throw out a guy at second base, you don't want the pitcher to throw a pitch like to your far left. Because you have to bring it all the way across your body and then get your feet set and then step into the throw. It's the same thing playing quarterback. Like, if you have to bend over to get the ball and usually take a step forward so it doesn't hit the ground, like, then you've got to stand up, get your feet underneath you, and then you have to go through all the things that you do to throw a football correctly. Like, it's just it didn't kill them tonight, but
no.
It certainly didn't help.
Against a good football team, it probably would have killed them.
It's just they've got to fix it. I mean, Raheem comes back, yeah, it's fine. But it was a noticeable problem tonight for the offense.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's going to be happening anytime soon with Raheem coming back, at least not this year.
Yeah. So, anyway, they're bowl eligible, 6-5. Tech coming up next week. They're bowl eligible, which I think is good. They beat Iowa State tonight.
Sure.
So they're not trying to, get bowl eligible next week.
You don't want to walk into that next week at 6:30. I mean,
crowd, and I mean, it's going to be nuts already, but
it should be nice.
It'll be a little
or fun or whatever
less
you
intense
want to call it.
Probably now
yeah.
that they're in a
and
in a bowl
I
game.
Guess in a way, are they kind of playing for, obviously they're going to be playing for like the bowl, whatever you want to call it, like the seeding of it, the winner, OU and Tech will probably get a better bowl game. Right.
Right. I mean, when it comes to that, the bowls can pick whoever they want. I mean, it's supposed to be slotted whatever.
Sure.
But they could they get the it's their bowl game. They get to pick. I mean, so like if it's the Liberty and Tech has just beaten Oklahoma, there's a pretty good chance the Liberty could still take Oklahoma because the name.
It was weird walking into the post game tonight and seeing a Liberty Bowl official. Although you know who was there? That was kind of weird. I don't know why they were there. The Peach Bowl. The fine folks from the Peach Bowl. Got my free Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Ah, damn you.
Be our guest. Me and Eric Bailey. Bailey schmoozed him enough to
get bet Bob got about seven of those.
I don't think he knows. Don't tell anybody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, don't tell him.
I don't think Bob listens to our pods when he's not on them.
That's fine. We'll see. I guess we'll find
Bob,
out
that's
now.
Your assignment. Let us know.
Nobody
on
tell Bob.
Wednesday during the unofficial 40.
If you
no
got,
one,
if you got
did
your
not
Chick-fil-A.
Go on the board and mention this to Bob, or we will come find you.
He might. Josh definitely does.
Josh definitely does, but we're going to find out if Bob does.
Can't wait to talk to Josh on
on
Wednesday. He was pretty ornery in the war room tonight.
He was. I mean, he was
I think he had a couple whiskeys earlier today.
He was a little ornery on Twitter as well.
Was he?
Ornery. But no, I mean, I think that's going to be really interesting is just kind of the recruiting part of it and what kind of impression this really did make on guys. I mean, you saw Jackson Arnold with his kind of cryptic emoji that he put out there after the game, which some people are saying that means that Peyton Bowen's coming. We don't.
Hey, for a 5-5 bullshit, whatever this thing is right now,
mm-hmm.
I thought the crowd, 6-5 now. I thought the crowd, the atmosphere, yeah, all that kind of stuff, even like the light stuff that they synced up with the pregame video, mm-hmm, I thought all that was great.
Yeah.
Like, that was a very good atmosphere to know what that is at 6-5. Like, I think it sells. It definitely sells to the recruits that were in town today.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of them there.
Yeah. It's like, big ones.
It was like I saw David Hicks and David Stone before the game down in the southeast corner talking, or southwest corner talking to Todd Bates. And it was just like, yeah, those guys could probably play today. Look at these guys. And I mean, David Stone's still a junior in high school right now.
But yeah, I mean, you just have to watch Hicks's tape and realize, yeah, they don't have a guy like that.
We want you back, man. Forget there was anything bad said.
Well, get that NIL stuff going now.
Peyton Bowen, I watched a little bit of that game last night, the Denton Guyer Highland Park game. And I mean, he's still just, he's unbelievable. I think he's the best high school football player I've seen this year. 100-yard kick return, or a 100-yard interception return when it was 14-point game.
Wow.
Cutting it to 7. And he flips it upside down. They're up by 21 all of a sudden.
You know, I can't help but notice, because, you know, I heard some of the post-game chatter and stuff that was going on radio stations. How do you think OSU fans feel after watching this today? I mean, they had a couple calls that Mike Gundy made in that game that if it were OU fans, they would be losing their minds.
I think I would be losing my mind if I was an Oklahoma State fan about the kick and the field goal with down 28-0. I could make the argument, though, that I understand what he was doing. There's 3:50 left
all
in the first half. You have all three timeouts. You know, if you're able to get a stop, go score, all of a sudden it's 28-10, and you're getting the ball out of the second half. I guess I can understand that. Punting, though, on 4th-and-2, and you know how bad OU's been in 4th-and-short all year.
Mm-hmm. It just seemed like they didn't come in. Well, they're the first team in a while that hasn't tried to exploit that part of OU's failure.
And that's what everybody says about Mike Gundy in this game, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He coaches not to win. And I think that, like, just the way that they came out, you know, obviously Oklahoma's first offensive series was great, but the way that they came out was just, it was just awful. I'm dying.
I know. Eddie is, he's doing this under, you need like some water Gatorade break or something?
No, I'm good.
I don't want to give out this person's name because I don't know if they want it out there because it's kind of political. But the funniest thing I saw, I think, was, Mike Gundy's coaching is more conservative than his television news watching. Which is apparently hard to be.
I'd say that's pretty. I'd say that's pretty accurate. Pretty accurate.
Yeah, he just. I mean,
poor Spencer Sanders. That guy laid his nuts out on the line. He threw the ball 67 times tonight.
Oh, I mean, he was a warrior. I mean, I give it up to him. He's
a little bit in that Sam Ellinger camp, yeah, as far as like guys that you just respect.
And I mean, he got pummeled tonight. Like, yeah, he took a beating.
He was taking it.
His jersey was just grassed up.
His jersey was like dirty, you know, halfway through the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like he'd been through a four-quarter war by the start of the second quarter.
He's not healthy to start with, so, I mean.
No.
That's just, I was impressed. I mean, he's a warrior. I don't think anybody could talk shit on him, even if you're an OU fan. You shouldn't. So, no, but it's going to be really interesting seeing what happens on the recruiting front. Josh will, be all over that tomorrow, see kind of what the reaction is. I mean,
I think there's going to be some positive reviews coming out of Norman OK tomorrow.
Like you said, the crowd was great. The atmosphere was great. They've done a better job each week and added more to the light show stuff. And then I'm sure the off season they'll make it even better. So, it was really impressive. I mean, there was it was a crazy day. I mean, what Spencer Rattler did today, did he end up with 7 touchdowns or was it 6? But throwing for 400 yards, just destroying Tennessee. And then, unfortunately, Tennessee's quarterback, Hinton Hooker, looked like he had one of those non-contact knee blowout situations, kind of like the old Jason White deal. Hopefully that's not the case, but it did not look good. He did walk off the field on his own. But watched the USC UCLA game as the OU game was going on, or flipped a little bit. And you know, same old Lincoln Riley looking team.
Caleb Williams, I saw some throws that he had tonight, and it's just like, oh gosh, he's good. He's going to be the number one pick next
year.
He
is really good.
Spencer Rattler, as you said, Spencer Rattler, Caleb Williams, I think they combined to throw for just under 1,000 yards combined today. They might be able to, you know, throw some footballs. They might be able to throw a football.
Well, good for Shane Beamer, though. That's a big win for him.
Another big win for him. And it was, you know, it's kind of come in a weird way. Didn't they lose to Vanderbilt here a couple weeks ago? Like, it was much needed, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. And then, God love them, TCU just keeps winning football games.
I don't know if they're, you know, what their ceiling is. I mean, they might just be a team that is just has figured out winning, where, you know, they're not a whole lot better than everybody. I mean, Kendre Miller left that game today. They lost Quentin Richardson, Robinson, I can't remember the receiver's name. The big guy, they lost him halfway through.
Quentin Johnson.
Quentin Johnson? Okay, yeah. But they just continue to make plays, and Max Duggan, man. I mean, he might be the guy that should be in New York. I mean, they're falling like flies, all the Heisman guys. The running back for Michigan went down today. They struggled with Illinois. Illinois is a good football team, but it was a pretty crazy day in college football.
Yeah, and it sets up for just a massive weekend next week, with, you know, at least for a national implications and all that kind of stuff, with Michigan, Ohio State, obviously, and then, you know, USC, Notre Dame is going to be a big game. There's going to be a lot of buzz around that. Go Irish. And I might have to go to Mass tomorrow. I might have to go to Mass this week.
I might, yeah. I mean, that, I could see Notre Dame just putting it to them the way they're playing right now.
I don't know where that game's at.
I mean, they kicked the crap out of Clemson.
I think it's in South Bend, so we'll see.
Depends on the weather. You might rather play them out in L.A. just to get good weather. I mean, everywhere's kind of Buffalo light.
It is
there.
In L.A. That it looked beautiful in South Bend today.
Snowing.
Oh, yeah. My God. It was like Snowmageddon up there.
It wasn't like Buffalo bad. It was just like snow. You couldn't really see the out of bounds. You couldn't see the sideline because there was snow.
Love that.
So, there's a lot ahead. You know, it's great that Oklahoma wins this game tonight. You know, great to see that defense playing well. And like I said, look, you get upset all you want at us or me or whatever on Twitter, and I understand sometimes family members are the most emotional. But, you know, it's not like we haven't seen this team play like crap for a while. Like, there's been some bad stuff this year.
Sure.
And, like, I've given the offense a pass for a long time. Tonight's the first time I can definitely say the offense didn't hold up their bargain.
Yeah, the offense probably, you know, even despite all the weather last week, was a little bit more of the root of the problem as well last week. So, yeah. Despite Eric Gray running for 200 yards a week ago. So, it's one of those things that, you know, everybody's mad. Everybody's going to be pissed off about it. But at the same time,
you have eyes. You see this. Like,
everybody knows
we're not
that
just
it's
piling
not,
on. It's not like it's not. This is nothing new.
They got to figure it out. And it's also just unbelievable to me that the tone that was in the post game, the tone that's even here a little bit, and they beat Oklahoma State by 15. If you would have told me that at the beginning of the week that OU was going to beat
Spencer Sanders at quarterback,
Spencer Sanders at quarterback, and OU was going to be able to beat OSU by more than 14 points, I think everybody would have signed up for that. It's wild.
That's crazy.
I think that Oklahoma State fans do have to be a little bit upset, and by a little bit, I mean a lot. And I've talked to a couple Oklahoma State buddies tonight, just as far as, you know, I think that it's always going to kind of be one of those things that Mike Gundy's now, what, 3-17? Or 3-16, 15?
I think it's
3-15 against Oklahoma, and it doesn't seem like there's any end in sight. That's a game that Oklahoma State, you kind of got to smell blood in the water, don't you? I mean, that's a 5-5 Oklahoma football team right now, and I know that they're beat up, but
yeah,
my God, that game was there for the taking.
Did Colin Oliver come back tonight? I didn't even notice that because he went down. I think he walked off on his own.
I couldn't tell you.
But, I mean, their offensive line just isn't very good.
No, and they're not.
Everybody knows that. Even OSU fans know that. So
Jordan Kelly, you know, that entire group, Jonah Laulu.
One,
probably not a
quick.
Bad night to have defensive ends play really well.
Anything said afterward? Wanya Morris?
No.
Anybody else that – I can't remember anybody else really going down.
No, there wasn't anything said about injuries or anything like that. That was kind of weird, though. Like, I know that they took Wanya back to the locker room at one point, and he was, like, kind of grabbing his neck initially out on the field. So I have no idea. That was weird.
Well, I mean, I thought overall the offensive line played well. They didn't establish the run, though, as much as they needed to. It was just disjointed. It's like Eric Gray would have 7 yards, and then he'd get stuffed at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And then
everything
they'd
was
throw,
yeah.
And they throw an incompletion, or somebody drop a ball. I mean, it's just – it was very disjointed. Not taking time off the clock made it look worse. And just – I mean, just the overall direction of the offense tonight just looked lost.
Yeah.
And I can't really say I felt that way a lot this season.
No, it if it's not one thing, it's something else with this team. It feels really kind of strange how all that works out, but they won by 15 in a year where we've talked about losses 5 times.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to just really dig in on these guys.
But I mean, they've lost by 3 to a team in Baylor that almost beat TCU today.
Sure.
You could argue should have beat TCU today.
Sure.
The West Virginia game was in a pouring, freezing rain. I mean, it was terrible for both teams. But again, it's a close lot. I mean, like the TCU and the Texas stuff, of course, you have Dylan Gabriel back now, but that hasn't been happening. You haven't been having the games where you just felt like this team is completely overmatched or, they get completely outcoached or they have terrible coaching. Like, I think you feel pretty good coming out, and you should. And there's no rot. That's not being a homer to do that, but you do want more. You want to see that offense work a little bit better. I mean, you want to see that defense continue. So I think there are steps. And to be honest, the best thing to happen out of night to me, for me, is not just the win, but to see that defense go out, take it seriously, care about it, get better, show better on the field. That's the best that they've done all season. And it's really good to see because I've really been questioning kind of the heart of those guys.
Yeah. And I that was kind of the first thing that popped into my mind midway through the first quarter is like, okay, like these guys, there was like a focus about them,
mm-hmm.
but there was also, I thought like a very, like they were just comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to like kind of put that into words. It's like, I thought the comfort level of that defense tonight was like, it almost felt like they just knew what was coming.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, there were times like Laulu would chase down, a screenplay.
Yes.
Like you saw guys.
Like they were seeing things.
Yeah,
they
you
were
saw
reading
guys
things.
Seeing things develop and saying, okay, this is what they're doing.
And I think a lot of that, though, is Oklahoma State just as plain as they possibly can be right now because of the injuries and all that kind of stuff and because how limited Spencer Sanders is. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll say this. Regardless if all that stuff is true, we've not seen this defense, diagnose things like they did
today. I mean, my God, we were talking a couple weeks ago if they could even line up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, obviously, you got to be pleased with what they were able to put forth today.
All right, it's a little bit shorter of a pod than usual, but it's about 3 a.m., so we're going to go ahead and...
We'll go extra since I wasn't on the U40 this week, last week. We'll do it... I guess we'll have Thanksgiving pod this week as well.
Yeah, we have
might have to
do
go
that.
On. We'll go on Tuesday, so Josh can... We can talk to him and all that kind of stuff.
Should we get some green bean casserole here for you?
I would literally... kill.
We got an arrest going on outside.
Ooh.
What's going on?
Ooh, can I take a live mic out there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody's getting a DUI.
Yeah, it's 3 a.m. on Campus Corner. You shouldn't be driving if you've been drinking.
That sucks. That sucks for them.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. We'll be back again this week, maybe Tuesday for the Thanksgiving pod. And that way, Josh and Bob can get their 2 cents in on what they saw this weekend. But a great victory. Don't ever want to say it's not a great victory for Oklahoma, especially the season like this. They move on to 6-5, chance to finish 7-5 with a win at Tech. So I mean, that could really, to me, be one of those things that helps Brent Venables keep his recruiting class together, keep his donor base together, keep the fans together. So let's see. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if that defense can go, because Texas Tech, really multiple, really good offense, and they'll hit you on defense. They're not a bad team. So it's going to be a battle, and if OU can win it, really put a nice cherry on top of a season that's been disappointing for a lot of people. So for Eddie Radosovich, I'm Kerry Murdoch. Thank you for listening to the Eskridge Lexus Postgame Podcast. We'll see you back here again next week after Texas Tech.